good stuff.
I do have something to discuss.
Oh, okay.
Is this crazy?
What, that you've got something to discuss?
Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean, you're otherwise, in? What are we going to do?
Okay, I thought you looked surprised.
You had a little look on your face that it's like.
Oh, really?
That maybe it's I don't know. Is it a stitch up or not a stitch
up? No,
no, no. You look cheeky.
I felt happy with myself for having something.
Oh yeah, yeah.
but then that is a phenomenon that I think happens sometimes, where sometimes I'm making an effort to have a particular face.
Yep.
For whatever reason. When you're performing, for example?
You got a smile.
Yeah, always got a smile. Of course. Constant smiles.
Make it look like you're having fun.
Exactly.
Make them know that this is actually the fun part of what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. This is now where you're meant to be laughing as well. Copy me. But you're making an effort there, I suppose, because you're like, no, I should look sad in this bit because I'm acting sad.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's happening in life as well. If someone tells you some terrible news, you might be thinking, oh, I need to be making a sad face now.
Yeah.
Which sometimes makes me then go, oh, don't giggle.
I know. But, and that's the common thing. And it makes you want to giggle.
100%.
In a huge way.
Mm.
And you've got to suppress that.
I have a hard time sometimes. You know what? When I didn't win Raw Comedy in 2013, this is an
How
example.
How close did you get?
I was in the final.
Yep.
And then they got, which is cruel in my view, they get all the contestants up on the stage to announce the winner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when the winner wasn't me, I wasn't expecting to win. I hoped to win.
Yeah, of course.
But I wasn't expecting to win. I think Aaron Chen was in my... He destroyed.
He won.
He won. I thought he was going
to
win.
Was there a part of you that were like trying to justify how you could win moments before? Where they were like, I think they saw something, the judges, that no one else would have seen.
To be honest, I think I was hoping for runner-up.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
And... which I also didn't win. But... I think, yeah, you make an argument for like, oh, in the world where I get through and beat X, Y, and Z, it would only be because they have these kinds of bias.
Yes.
If they like that kind of joke and they hate that kind of guy and they're sexist, so women are out, then maybe I start looking
you
like
You do start doing those calculations.
Mm. And then you start looking at the judges and start making it possible that those people could have those biases.
Mm, yeah, but it's a dangerous, dangerous place to go down.
Well, you just can't be worrying too. It's out of your hands, I guess. But what I found then was...
So Chen won and you're furious. And you're on stage in front of people.
I felt fine. But my main concern was, I guess, I feel like people are looking at my face in the same way that in the Oscars, not to say that Royal Comedy is like the Oscars.
No, it's our Oscars.
It's kind of is.
It's the closest thing maybe we'll ever experience to what it's like to go to the Oscars.
Oh, don't say that.
When you're adults, you don't get to go in like public competitions.
Exactly.
Like as a child, it happens at school. They teach you all of this. But then this is actually just a real world example of when you get to go up in front of people and then have to deal with a competitive thing and maybe publicly show disappointment.
Well, that's the thing. I think I was brought up in a way where I'm pretty good at dealing with competition and competitiveness through sport mainly. I'm happy with losing.
Mm.
I'm fine. But the public nature of it, I wasn't as used to and comfortable with. And I guess I felt that people were looking at my face to try to see how disappointed I was.
Oh.
So my feelings weren't so much disappointment. There was probably a bit of that. But it was mainly just, oh, my mission now is to not look really upset.
Yeah.
Because people are probably looking at me to see how upset I am.
Hold back the tears.
Well, do you know what I mean? Not that there were tears.
You were welling up.
I wasn't welling up.
And you are right, by the way. Like,
and then that makes you nervous.
Like
and then you start like my face started being all weird because I'm like, I'm too thinking about my face.
So you looked weird?
I think so, yeah, yeah.
Oh, have you?
And then you're like, oh no.
Is there a photo floating around?
Oh,
there might be.
No, I don't know.
There probably would be a photo, like a group photo.
Someone.
We should just see you making
Someone in there probably took a photo. But anyway, my point is that sometimes I'm not aware of what face I'm making. Because that was an example of where you're kind of too mindful, I guess, of what face you're making.
So you're saying when we both sat down and then you said, I've got something.
I wasn't really thinking about my face.
And like, you had a huge grin over your face.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was just because, wait, you weren't thinking or you were thinking?
I wasn't thinking at all. And I guess I wonder how misconceptions happen like this quite a lot. Where like, all I'm thinking about is the words I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking about the face. So when you have a reaction, I assume that's going to be because of the words.
Mm.
I'm not taking into account my enormous cheeky grin.
Do you know, I'm in a weird middle ground of this, right, by the way. Like sometimes at work on the project, I have to ask a serious question. I'm sure you've had to do it. And it's kind of it's a strange area to be in. And then
Because you're a comedian.
Well, yeah. And then I've looked at clips of other people like that are really good broadcasters asking serious questions. And I've noticed that they sometimes have a lot more warmth than I do because I'm like serious, serious, serious. You can't have any fun. So I look like I'm about to burst into tears often asking like
wow.
a serious question. So I've then studied that when studied, I've just looked at clips of like,
you've deliberately typed in clips of sad
No. Other people that work on the show.
Okay.
And then often I'll look at them and I've started. So now when I ask a serious question,
yes,
I look down like I'm looking at notes.
Okay.
Even though the question's already written in the auto cue yes. for me. And then I look up and I just try to have a slight smile because if I feel like I'm smiling a little bit, oh. I'm not actually smiling, but there's a bit of warmth there.
Wow.
And then I deliver the question.
Jesus. This I know. This is a level of like familiarity with how you seem that filming yourself necessitates.
Totally. But that's what I'm saying. Like I'm there with the face.
That's a fucking difficult road, dude. What if you start actually smiling? Like you're only one. I would be, to be honest, erring on the side of looking like
Do you
too
reckon
sad.
It's better me cry, looking like I'm crying?
I mean, I would be, my biggest fear, I guess, would be grinning ear to ear while asking someone about it.
No, but I'm not
going to
grin ear. I'm not that smiley a person.
Hang on. So look at this. Is this happy or sad?
Oh, sad. Yeah,
I was smiling. No, you weren't. Sure. I was grinning.
You
a
were
bit.
Sad. There was no grin.
Well, this is proving your point because
there
I'm
was no grin.
I'm gonna do one more.
Maybe
I'm
it was
do one
the
more.
Eyes. Go again. Yeah, that's so indifferent. Whatever you're doing right there.
Really?
Yeah, that was not
to
like,
me. That's a cheeky grin.
That's not. That wasn't cheeky. That was like drifting out of a conversation. Is what that is. I mean, what? So there now. That's a smile there now.
Wow. Yeah. It's important to measure your smile threshold. Now you go.
Okay, so you want me to which one? Do which?
Do your one that you do with a serious question.
Okay.
You're actually twitching. you're actually legitimately twitching, dude.
Yeah, the pressure's on
your
now.
Your cheek is twitching.
I felt the twitch. I felt the twitch. I immediately felt the twitch.
He's crumbling. How can you expect to do this in a public setting?
There's not even any cameras in here. It was just to you. God, the twitch was so brutal. No, I just felt it right there. Just start twitching. Wait, let me have another go. Let me. Okay. Yes.
We can't have you like give you a twitch.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
So I saw it's still a bit of a twitch, but this, you're right.
Is there another twitch?
A bit of a tiny, but I think that's just normal, like muscles moving. This is definitely not a grin.
Definitely not a grin. And that's what I try to hit.
Go a bit higher, a bit more grin. I want to get you to the grin. Twitching. That is a grin. It's a bit vacant, but it's too smiley for
Way
sadness.
Way too smiley.
For sadness.
But the alternative is, look at my resting face.
Yes. Yeah, that's too sad.
It's too sad, yeah.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so go back to the one where you're asking someone a question. Yeah, yes, that's fine.
Yeah.
It's small areas we're tweaking.
Oh, it's such small areas. But it's like if someone takes a photo of you, like say you're like, let's get a photo.
Yes.
Do you have a set smile that you do?
100%.
Yeah. What do you go? Do you go?
Who doesn't? Who's improvising a smile every time?
I try to mix it up.
These absolute mavericks.
Because I got told I need to shut my mouth, and then I've gotten feedback saying you need to open your mouth.
Okay, was this just in a conversation or?
This has just been from a variety of people that have like.
Just telling you to shut your mouth and shut the fuck up and be quiet.
No, we're talking visual. Oh, visual.
Right. Okay.
When my mouth is open, the stuff that comes out, people like, generally.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they really get behind it.
Is that the case?
Yeah, it is the case, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, hence you having to listen to it right now for an hour or so.
I've actually got audio equipment set up.
To make it sound so good. You can't hear anything else.
I've actually found myself in a situation where it would be impossible to deny that I approve of what comes out of your mouth.
No, but people have been like, sometimes I've been told I show too much teeth.
Okay.
And then other times I've been told, keep the mouth closed.
Yeah, but you just
it's
need
just
to,
hard.
You just need to come to a view of which of these opinions you agree with and make some compromises and like arrive at a solution and at a consistent
Yeah,
smile.
I know, but it's like you want the if you take a photo of yourself and you put it up.
So it's context dependent for
you? You want people to like it.
Yeah, exactly. So you I need to decide on a smile. You're riffing every time. You're
but I want to put it out
improvising
to the...
Because
I'm trying to find the one that people like the best.
You're still on the search? You're still on the search for an appropriate smile?
I might never find it.
You're in your
it.
30s, mate.
I might never find
Grow
it.
Grow up.
I might never find it. What do you do? Do you go mouth open?
Yeah. It's so hard to do in this context.
Go. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's what I think is the best
Open
one.
Mouth with a bit
so
of
So you
teeth
show a
showing.
Bit of front teeth.
100%.
Mouth, eyes clear.
Eyes clear?
Well, a lot of it's about the eyes.
But what do you mean clear?
They're not like, you're not scowling. just like wide open.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, you want to open your eyes.
Like that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
You don't want to be totally. Like... This is the worst thing to listen to.
See, all this visual stuff. You there were like, did a scowl.
Sometimes people scowl.
No one's
you know,
like,
people take selfies, sometimes they try to look serious.
Oh, okay. Like a bit of a Blue Steel situation. Mm. Yeah, that's not... That's a whole different ballgame.
What was the thing you wanted to talk about?
Okay, sorry, yes, I've gotten distracted. So, I was in a discussion, I guess, a few years ago.
Okay.
With a few friends of mine from school.
Yep.
One of whom hadn't seen in a while, and we were... I'd say he's a bit more conservative than me, this guy.
Lifestyle choices? Ideology?
In ideology.
Okay.
And we were talking about, I suppose, the cultural changes that had happened over the last 10 years.
Mm.
And I forget exactly how it came up, but I mentioned the idea of intersectionality.
Okay.
And all the different types of privilege
that
people have. I basically forget how it came up. But I mentioned the idea of, you know, obviously people have privilege based on their race, depending on the society. In our society, white people, generally speaking, not in all contexts, generally speaking,
pretty good.
Have privilege. Men, again, not everywhere, but generally speaking, sex. And then we've got race. I mentioned that other ones, sexuality is one that people talk about. I mentioned that other ones potentially exist as well.
Yes.
And one is like attractiveness, for example.
Oh, the intelligence. Hot people privilege. You hear about this all the time.
Well, so this is years ago.
Okay.
But you do hear about that.
Well, and when I say all the time, I mean not all the time in any way, but you do hear about it.
And I mentioned the idea of hot people privilege.
Mm.
And my friend, he'd never heard it, and he was not disgusted by it, but he like started making fun of me for the idea of that ever being a thing.
Right.
And I assured him, no, it's a thing that I've heard people reference. It's also a thing conceptually, if you think about it. Like, obviously it exists.
It's almost the easiest one to picture.
It's one that people have been talking about since time
It's like people began. People would walk over dead bodies for hot people.
100%.
Do you know what I mean?
100%. And Doug Stanhope has a great bit about how it's never going to take off in the same way because no one wants to go to a march just for ugly people.
Yeah.
Being like no one wants to admit they're part of the people that aren't privileged, I guess. In the same way that I think like intelligence privilege is a real thing.
Yeah.
Some people are just naturally a bit more intelligent than others, which gives them an advantage, but no one wants to admit that they're dumb, really. Everyone kind of thinks they're smart, so that's why that one could be more difficult for like activism to happen around, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, I started having an argument with this friend from school, and basically we decide, I'm saying, look, don't get things twisted. This could become a thing. This could become, like in the next few years, like a more significant thing that people are actually talking about. I've heard about it.
Yeah.
You haven't, but it's coming. And he said, no, no, no. And we made a bet. Oh. And we made a bet about how, because I didn't think it was going to be the biggest thing in the world, but I just, you know, have already seen it this mentioned. I thought this would enter the zeitgeist in some way. And we made a very specific bet.
How much?
$150. For, and we had a very specific terms. I don't remember exactly the same terms, but I think in the next 2 years or maybe 18 months after we made the bet, for me to win, there had to be 3 articles in newspapers that had readerships higher than The Guardian.
Oh,
that
okay.
were about this particular issue.
Yeah.
And I won the bet. To be honest, the terms favored me because that includes quite a few articles.
Could they all be in The Guardian? Because I feel like...
Yeah, I think so. Guardian, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't think that he specified like 3 different publications. Yeah, he didn't do very well negotiating the terms.
Yeah.
He's a lawyer. That's a bit embarrassing for him.
Yeah,
I think I negotiated well in the terms here.
Intelligent privilege coming out here.
Well, you know, he's this guy thinks he's smart too, so I got him.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was a bit of a success story for me. And that happened like a few years ago. And I don't think I ever got the money, but don't worry about that.
We don't care about the money?
Oh, you know.
I think you should chase
the money.
Wouldn't
go astray, but that's fine. Then, today, I saw a TikTok.
Yep.
Where a woman was talking about this concept.
Because yes, I do experience pretty privilege, but there are tiers to pretty privilege, and I'm on the lower tier. So pretty privilege has 3 tiers. There's entry level, 8 tier, and model status.
So what was it? There's model status?
So this person is saying that there's tiers of pretty privilege. So it's not just pretty privilege and non-pretty privileged people. She's saying there's entry level pretty privilege.
Yes.
Of people that are kind of like pretty attractive, but in a normal way, and people are a bit nice to them. Then people who are hotter than them that get like people are really nice to. And then there's people who are like, you know, supermodels, whatever. And then it's a 3-minute video, and she goes through kind of the privileges that each of those tiers enjoy.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch the whole thing. I watched like 30 seconds of it. And all I'm thinking is now people are talking about tiers. Like this is how
it's
much it's developed. I send it to my friend who was like the referee.
Yeah.
And then I send it to my friend who I made the bet with. Like sucked in. I'm so right. Not only am I right that this is into the discourse.
Tiers now.
Now there's tiers now.
Yeah.
And then my friend goes, I don't think you watched the whole video. because the video keeps going and she explains in detail for 3 minutes these different tiers. And then at the end she says, please click the follow button. My name's Beck and I am a diagnosed psychopath. So now I'm, I guess, a psychopath. So I've had this argument where, like, I am saying a certain thing. I'm arguing on behalf of a certain concept. And then I send this as evidence.
This is your backup.
And my backup is someone who is an influencer saying that she's a diagnosed psychopath and sharing the views that psychopaths have and stuff like that. And I'm like, see? I'm sending it to mates being like, see? So this is in society now.
No. So wait, is she... She's not saying that all psychopaths... She's saying this exists, right? But then does she then have to... Is her kind of shtick that she's a psychopath influencer?
Yes. So she's, I suppose, sharing what it's like to be a psychopath and stuff like that. Right. But I guess her...
Psychopaths still, there can be some observations they make on society.
100%. Somewhat but correct. If you had a very similar observation to someone who was a diagnosed psychopath, would that worry you a tad?
And you had argued quite...
specifically similar
and,
stuff.
And held the argument over years and years.
Hmm. Yeah, it's all of a sudden not...
I agree with her, though.
Not as positive.
I agree with the psychopath about the tears. I think there is definitely... Like, models definitely would get, like, crazy treatment. They would just... But the privilege, I think, it might flow on to, like, workplace stuff. Like, you might get involved in more work stuff. You might get invited to more things because people subconsciously, or maybe not even subconsciously, are like, it's pretty good having you around to 100%. Look at or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that definitely happens. You might get more job opportunities. But, like, also, I think you just get more conversation. Like,
you get more conversation.
Like, I don't think you would ever be stuck, like, in the corner at a party with no one to talk to.
This is the thing, though.
And I think that on a micro level, I think that's, like, a big thing that you wouldn't think about but would actually be awesome. Like, people would always be coming up to be, like, to check on you, to see how you're going. You never would be like, fuck, who am I going to talk? I don't know anyone here. This totally. Is awkward. There would always be someone talking to you.
You wouldn't be as socially anxious... Because you wouldn't have to drive conversations as much. And yes. I've found that, I guess, with hot people to the extent that I've talked to them.
You're just putting in the effort.
Oh, no more that they just, when there's a silence, they're not like, oh, how's your week?
Yeah.
They're like,
okay. What have you got now?
So bring this me the next concept.
This is the part where you normally
exactly. Yeah. Or someone else will come and replace you.
Yeah.
So there is that confidence, I guess. I think my actual analysis of whether it would be easier, I think there's a South Park episode about a hot person who doesn't develop any other skills. And I think it would be easy, but whether that has a net positive effect on your life, totally. I think the model status people that are the most gorgeous, I think there's a sweet spot of where you'd want to be. If you're so hot that that becomes your identity, there's a risk that becomes a bit of a...
A trap.
A trap, I guess.
Absolutely. But then I would argue you would split model into two more categories.
Oh, here we go.
So you'd be like crazy high-end model.
We're out-psychopathing the psychopath.
Well, I'm Tom and Sam, and we are both psychopaths.
The problem with this opinion is that there are only three tiers.
No, but so say you're like upper echelon of model. So maybe like lifetime famous models, Cindy Crawford.
Yep.
Right? Where it's like your identity is model. And even, because I think the big fear with being a hot person or being in these tiers is that your privilege due to age will just drop at some point.
Yes.
When your looks are no longer, like there's always going to be hotter people coming through. That's just the nature of time.
Yeah, totally.
Age. But if you're at the
and
top.
Youth-based totally. Attractiveness standards.
Exactly, right? But if you're at the top level, these people that kind of almost like transcend like what we think beauty is.
Yes.
Like you become iconic and you're just a hot person. And you're still known as being a hot person, even when you're not as hot as you once were.
Yes.
People still think, wow. Super hot.
You could argue, though.
So that privilege, you were so hot that you did so well out of it.
Yeah. You think that's good?
No, I'm saying that's another level of privilege.
Yes.
As opposed to the hot people that just have privilege and then it just drops off. And then it might become a burden because then their whole identity was being hot, but they're no longer hot. And then they kind of struggling to readjust to the world. But if you're in that top bit and you're hot forever.
Well, I suppose.
And you've made money forever from just being hot.
Was it hot
because they set up
that?
Businesses?
Or is that kind of money privilege and fame privilege kicking in alongside the hotness privilege because of their particular circumstances? But was that caused by the hotness?
That was caused by the hotness. That's what I'm saying. If you're that hot, you become rich and famous. Yeah. That like there are people that are just rich and famous for being hot.
Yes.
And it's insane. And then that will just continue.
It is.
And then maybe they move into another aspect of their business life.
Yes.
But that's all off the back of them being hot.
It's similar to athletes. They have like a similar...
trajectory.
Like models.
Yeah.
That's why, that would be my reasoning if I was an athlete.
But did,
because they get criticized probably for like going out with models.
Yeah.
Perhaps that makes them seem a bit vain.
Yeah.
But then they could say, no, we just have very similar careers.
Yeah.
Youth focused careers.
We're on the clock here.
Yeah, exactly. We need to get
make more
in right now.
Absolutely.
And like, of course get the reputation together. Going and get some business sense and get some businesses started before they start deteriorating. Well,
which is why the true privilege is intelligence, right?
You think?
Because it's like, we're just talking about like God-given gifts here. You've just born with it due to whatever circumstances.
Yep.
You just come out hot, right?
Yeah.
And that's awesome. People are like, come with me. You're hot. We're doing stuff. You're good at sport. You just got it. You know, you're like, we're going to give you all this money. You play
this
game. Oh,
my God. Their hand-eye coordination is fantastic.
It's crazy. And then that will drop off at some point, except for the circumstances that I outlined before.
Yep.
Unless intelligence, you're just born that way.
Yes.
You're just on an upward trajectory. In fact, you'll get smarter and smarter as you get older. Till there will be a point when you're retired where you start to fade a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
But by that point, my God, you've done pretty good.
Have you seen the graphs of the different peaks?
Is there a graph about this?
Yes, of like your athletic peak and different athletic peaks.
Yeah.
You know, the best marathon runners are like late 30s, for example. Yep. I think the best, most athletic-y kind of stuff peak at, you know, late 20s, early 30s. Yeah. But then it has like intelligence, 50s and like wisdom at 60.
Yeah.
I don't know what wisdom is, but like stuff like that. So I guess that's true. Can I put another one forward?
Okay.
In terms of the privilege that is innate, that like leads to the best life, I guess.
Yeah.
Because obviously like wealth, I think that's one that is under talked about in society.
Well, being
pretty
born
obvious.
Into money. Like wealth privilege.
Yes.
Is that under talk? I feel like that's what people talk about the most.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, then that's the argument about how much stuff is in the media or whatever. But that is talked about a lot. But that's kind of not innate. That's just like luck of like
where you just happened. Yeah,
stuff your whatever. Parents had, basically. So let's kind of take that out of it. Intelligence is pretty good. Don't get me wrong. Work ethic. What do you think?
Love it.
Because intelligence with no work ethic is kind of nothing.
Yeah, well, so you're saying work ethic privilege.
Yes, because
this is going to be a hard one to sell, I think.
Work ethic is a manifestation of nature and nurture,
totally.
Which is, so some of it would be biological. We don't know the breakdown exactly.
And some of it is situational.
And some of it is how you're brought up.
Yeah.
But how you're brought up is, you don't really decide that either.
You
kind of, in a way, become 18 and you've had an upbringing and you've got your biological stuff in your brain and how you are. And you either have a good work ethic or you don't.
I cannot wait for like when we have a day during the year for like people with bad work ethics.
Yeah.
And we have to be like,
the trouble is, it's difficult to organize the protests because no one, don't leave us behind, the people with the bad work ethic. It's just like seven of us and like we've got one sign and it's, you know, the writing only goes halfway and then we run out of room. It.
No one remembered to turn up. They remembered to turn up, but they just couldn't get out
this
of bed.
This is the trouble with how these movements happen. They often happen because people in the majority are rarely just offering olive branches to minorities.
Yeah.
It's often a minority group.
They get together
and do activism.
They force their place at the table.
Exactly. And certain groups aren't, like, it's all back to Doug Stanhope's bit.
But yeah.
Ugly people are never going to unionize, really, because, I mean, they could, but like, it's just too amorphous a concept. And people don't want to be a part of that group, really, in their minds. And same with lack of intelligence, I think, because intelligence is, what is intelligence?
I reckon,
I
reckon that like dumb people would have a better chance. They would just need one smart person to be their leader. That's all they need.
What a turncoat. Whoever that is. I know what you're doing.
Not there. Even one. So he could just have to be medium intelligence, he or she.
Yes.
And then they be like, group them together because they want to feel good.
You could argue that people are geniuses, aren't happy though.
Because they think too much.
Yeah, I think so. I think that there's a sweet spot.
What was that? There was an Einstein quote, I think. Maybe not Einstein. But
just
anyway,
say it's Einstein. Most
we'll
quotes
say,
are Einstein.
We'll just
I
say
think.
It was Einstein. And he said something like, don't worry about whatever problems you're having with maths, because I can assure you I'm having far greater problems.
What? Hang on. Don't worry about what maths problems you're having.
Yeah. So if you're struggling with math, whatever.
Don't worry.
You are,
that's a cocky quote.
To be like, you know, and he's one of the smartest people ever. He's having more problems. As in like he's struggling.
Yeah. He's struggling more, but at a higher level.
Yeah. At a higher level. But like,
Jesus.
I think he's
Come on, mate.
I think he's implying that it doesn't get easier.
Yeah. Oh, no, totally. But it gets harder because what you're doing is harder and then it's more cool that you're up there.
Yeah, of
so
course.
Don't
no,
be,
but I think he's implying that you don't just get to a point where it all gets easier.
No. That's a good thing, actually, that I remember my athletics coach when I was 15 telling me that it kind of feels the same. Like, if you get fitter and you do more training, running a race always feels the same. Like, you're pushing yourself and it's hard and you're annoyed.
This is like lifting weights.
But the time you do just differs.
Yeah.
Based on how good you are.
Lifting weights, you're always like, oh, I want to, like, you start and it's so hard.
Yes.
And then it doesn't get easier. The weight is still the same relative to how strong you are.
Exactly.
So it just you never actually get better.
But the difference, but you do though, because the difference, there's an objective measure. Stuff. Yeah. And then the feeling of looking at the weights afterwards
that
is less humiliating.
But the feeling of lifting the thing is like still exactly
But I'm still
the same.
Doing multiplication and Einstein's being like, I have the same feeling of you struggling with it. So it's like, no, you don't, because I look around and all my peers are jeering at me and pointing and laughing and you are the king of the world.
And everyone's looking at you being like, oh
he's a god.
He's amazing. How does he do
exactly.
it?
Exactly. So don't act like
it's
the same
problem.
It also
might not have been Einstein who said that.
You
and I also
asshole.
Probably have misquoted him.
Yeah,
as well.
No, I'm mad at him now. Mm. But which one do you think is the most important, if you had to pick one? Hang on, this is the thing that actually, if you had a kid, you get to pick one trait that they're going to be, hot, smart, or kind.
Oh. And can I ask one question before I answer?
You can. I'd like to clarify something also.
Okay. Are they void of the other traits?
That's what I wanted to clarify. Yeah. No. So the other ones, let's say a god comes down and says, I'm going to let you lock one in as being definitely.
Yeah.
To be honest, we can do both.
Okay.
I think both are interesting experiments. But for the first one, let's say it's just been really normal, but you can lock in that they're definitely going to be hot, kind, or smart.
Okay. I'm going to go, this is maybe a corny answer, but kind, I think. I know. Isn't that pathetic? I just think of my life and not being like, I just think the best, you'd get the most out of it if you were kind. Crazy intelligence. Oh, look, there are smart people. I'm not saying they're not kind.
Yes.
But sometimes you're so smart that you know, there's other deficiencies in your life as a result.
Totally.
Of that. And being hot, I think it's like, unless I can guarantee so hot that 400 million Instagram followers immediately and then super live, I'm like, they're going to have a red hot 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. And let's hope they can get a lot done in that time.
Yeah, but they're not going to develop many skills.
But if they're kind, at least the world's... What would you go?
Wow.
You'd go hot.
Yeah. Taunton here trying to flirt with girls listening to this, clearly. The most pick me answer in the world.
As if it is.
I would choose kind, of course, because that is the way to have the happiest
I'm just
life.
Being honest with you. I'm actually being honest with you. I actually don't want them to be that hot.
Yeah, yeah. I think to pick hot, pick hot is crazy. I want my kid to be sexy as hell. I want my kid to be so
I want
God
everyone just fawning over my kid.
Sexy. It's difficult. I think for me, my mind goes to which of these traits are most nurture over nature.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to be the parent, you can actually affect the behavior of your child. And I think kindness is probably the most learned behavior of the three.
Yeah.
As opposed to just something you're born with, which makes me hesitant to pick.
There would be aspects of what you're born with, though. Yeah.
I think there probably would be biological aspects, though. And this becomes a scientific question. I don't know the answer. But I agree it would be somewhat innate. Some people you meet, they're just lovely.
Lovely people.
They're just really kind.
Yeah.
And that does seem to be a happy, lovely life. And to be honest, you're talking me into kind.
Dude, kind's good.
I think intelligence would be the other one. I do think if you're above a certain intelligence, you kind of just understand what's going on a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it makes life a bit easier. But hot is crazy to pick, I think.
Hot's crazy. The other problem with intelligence is that I wouldn't want my kid to be smarter than me.
Oh, really?
They're, like, I would...
Yeah.
Like, imagine at 8, they're already, like, schooling you. They're like, I think you'll find you're wrong, Dad. And you'd be like, oh, come on.
They're annoying 14-year-old. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're probably not kind either. So they're like, you're a fucking idiot. And I'll be like, well, fucking lucky you're ugly as well. Think about that.
I hadn't thought of this. So hang on. Kind is actually the most selfish one to pick because it benefits you hugely. Because when you're old, for example, this kid is going to take care of you. This kid is going to
totally.
Like, oh my God, I'm picking kind for sure.
And they're not resentful that no one wants to fuck them because they're ugly. They're not resentful at you for your bad genetics.
So then this is fantastic. I think I'm picking
you
kind.
You can do whatever you want raising.
Because they love you so much and they've got, because you've made a deal with God that they're going to be so kind no matter what. You can be the most absent father.
You forget to pick them
father.
Up from school. I'm going away for a weekend.
Don't worry. My kid is a pretty nice guy.
It's just dry cereal in the cupboard. You'll be right.
Thank
I
you
love you
so much,
I love
Dad.
You, Papa.
Another day of dry cereal off a plate. Thank you, Daddy.
Yeah, kind of.
I like this one.
Kind all the way.
I was, my aversion to it was that it's the most pick me answer, and it's the, but now it's like selfish.
Dude,
I'm in.
It's so selfish. It's so selfish.
Would you do the same if the other traits were going to be like 2 out of 10? So if you pick kind, great, they're going to be not very intelligent and not very good looking.
No.
And if they're hot, then they're going to be not very.
Well, that's why I asked. Because if you said they were going to be like very dumb.
Yes.
I don't really care about the hotness because like I don't.
Yeah.
I think if they're dumb, it's going to be tough.
Yeah. But can
so
I say.
If the options are like super dumb or incredibly kind, you might have to go intelligence.
You're going intelligence.
Just for their life. Because you would love them.
No, but.
You'd rather them be a bit of an asshole, like. Not be kind.
2 out of 10, though.
So then they're what, the worst?
They're like
person?
Evil. You can't have an evil kid.
No, but 2 out of 10, 10 being the kindest person alive,
and 0 being the most evil.
And then is 0 like
2 out of 10?
0 is like evil dictator.
I think so.
Like, yeah.
I think you've got to pick kind.
So
2, dude.
You're like a general in the Nazi regime,
yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Which you could argue you just got caught up. Right place, wrong place, right time.
My boy.
No, wrong place, wrong
my
time.
My boy is not a smart guy. He's a genius. So you can't argue that he didn't know what was going on.
So
you've chosen, he's a 10 out of 10 genius, and he's evil.
I get the guy
he's going to be the worst guy for society in the world.
He made the atomic
bomb. You have
bomb.
To pick
Kai. That's who he is.
Exactly.
He didn't let it off, but he made it. He knew where it was going.
He knew everything.
He was Oppenheimer.
I think you got to pick kind there. This is crazy that you picked kind in the one where they're probably going to be attractive anyway because they're your child. They're probably going to be pretty smart anyway because they're your child. And in the one where they're 2 out of 10 guaranteed, you're like, intelligence. I want an evil boy.
Well, I don't want him to be evil, but I just think it's like the other options are, but 2 out of 10 intelligence is going to be a tough life.
Yes.
And at least.
Yes. True, but and kind.
You hear about parents of evil kids and they still love their kids. So I think the problem is I'm going to love this child no matter what.
But before the child exists and you get to determine its traits, I think worst case scenario is that your child is evil because of what you just said, that you love them no matter what.
2 out of 10 evil. How evil is that?
This is psychopathic questioning here. You're like, 2 out of 10 is pretty good, actually.
No,
is a lot.
I just don't know what 2 out of 10 evil is. Because I was thinking if they like, they don't like let people merge in traffic.
Yeah, that's not two out of ten, dude. That's 8 out of 10.
That's not 8 out of 10.
Yes, it is.
That'd be 5 out of 10.
Are you kidding?
Like you're not waving, like you know, not being like thanks or whatever,
dude. That's minutia. It's the smallest thing in the world. 2 out of 10 is rough. 2 out of 10 is a real
2 out of 10's bad. Guy. Bad
sorry,
guy.
It almost makes it an impossible. Like
it's a, not it's a tough question.
It almost makes it.
I guess the answer again is just kind.
I think kindness is the way.
Or now I go hot.
Yeah. So then hot.
Just hot.
Stupid
so
and evil.
So dumb. And
dude, there's a good argument for that.
To be like the hottest.
Because, can I say, of the three. So, right, kind, we've discussed.
Yeah.
And then just not very attractive and not very intelligent.
Yeah.
They're going to have a lovely life. It's a shame they don't have these, particularly intelligence. They're not understanding a lot of what's going on in the world. But hopefully we'll have a happy life. 10 out of 10 intelligence and 2 out of 10. Dude, we didn't even say this.
What?
10 out of 10 intelligence. 2 out of 10 kindness. So they're evil.
Evil.
And 2 out of 10 attractiveness. So this is like an incel
it's like Jabba
situation.
The Hutt or something.
This is like the most evil person. They're going to bring down the world, man. You cannot put someone like that into the world.
Because they're so smart, they would also feel all the emotions. So they would feel the resentment
for being so ugly.
And people not wanting to talk to them.
It would be,
and they would channel that further into their intelligence.
Exactly. And so they would come up with awful, awful things.
Yeah, okay, that's really bad.
10 out of 10 hotness and 2 out of 10 intelligence and 2 out of 10 kindness. So they're not very kind.
But
they're not very smart either, so they can't execute their evil plans. But so they're just hot and kind of not knowing what's going on.
So they're just walking around being rude as shit.
And they're rude, but no one cares because they're hot.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not going to feel the worst weight of that. Yeah, okay.
And then they could just actually do okay in society because they're hot.
Well, it is like a whole genre now.
Who cares if they're evil because they're not smart?
Like hot girl, like mean hot girls is like kind of a thing at the moment.
Totally.
Like
it could be in the sequel to the Mean Girls musical.
Totally, right?
They're bored now.
They're working.
There's one every 20 years.
They got a job.
I think
they're gainfully employed. They're hot.
Hot was there the whole time.
They're surrounded by people because they're hot, so there's a great sense of community.
Yes, exactly.
They live a good life.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the answer.
Hotties. Well, that was all right. So I'm in an Uber last week. I don't know if this is rude, but have you ever had an Uber driver have to like pull over to get fuel? Have you ever been in that situation?
I was in a situation once.
Mm.
Front seat.
Front seat.
He pulled over.
Yeah.
Went into the service station.
Mm.
No fuel. Was in there for like 10 minutes. I think he was taking a shit.
He was so shitty.
Like a real long one. And fair play to him.
What did he say to you when he pulled over?
Sorry, man. Sorry, I've just...
That's all he said.
Yeah, sorry, man. I just got to go in here. I've just got to do something.
Yeah, okay.
And I...
Was there an offer? Like, was he like, do you mind? Or was he like, sorry, I just have to?
Yeah, he was definitely apologizing. Because I remember feeling bad for him and I wasn't in a rush.
Yeah.
So I was like... And, you know, one time in India that happened to me. Classic story, but your tummy's just not right.
It's upset.
It was upset. I was on the way to some music festival. We were in like a van. I remember we were playing... I almost didn't go that day. Mm. I've told you this, I think. But I decided to because it was feeling better. But then I got in the van and then you're overthinking it. And about 20 minutes in, it was like a 40-minute trip.
Oh, no.
Starts feeling really bad.
Oh, God.
And I remember we were playing like the band game where you say like a band, like LL Cool J.
Yeah.
And then you have to say a band that starts with J.
Oh.
But we were playing that for like comedians, I think.
Oh, okay.
And I remember being like, Hannibal Buress. Hannibal Buress.
Yep.
Hannibal Buress. To try and get myself out of my head.
Yeah.
Just saying Hannibal Buress. So I'm just in the back saying Hannibal Buress over and over again.
Terrifying.
And then I just needed to go. So I asked them to stop the van and then ran in like random street near like Pune in India.
No. What? A random street in India?
Run out. And there's people everywhere. It's India. There's no place to just go to the bathroom in public. So I ran into a restaurant of some kind and just walked past them and went into the toilet. Got to a toilet, thank God. It was actually just the best.
Wow. And that could have gone so bad. You could have been shitting on the street.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I was going to. Like, I had to. Otherwise, I would have.
Of all the countries in the world to shit on the street, pretty good one.
Totally. But still, I'm not used to that.
Because I've seen people shit on the street in
100%.
India.
100%. Yeah. It's not like they would have sued me or anything.
No.
You know? Like in Imagine Australia, people would be like, I'm going to sue you for emotional distress.
You'd get shot in Singapore if you tried it.
Totally.
In India, everyone would
Singapore,
be like...
Singapore, actually the worst place in the
India,
world.
India, everyone would be like, oh, wow.
Oh, you, know, you white idiot. White idiot. I know exactly what's happened to you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would actually quite love it.
They'd be like,
hey, come
they'd
on.
They'd probably take photos and stuff and then I'm online.
God, that's...
I suppose once something like that has happened to you, I think someone pulling over to go to the bathroom...
You're fine with it.
I'm like, yes, mate. Yeah. Can I say another... Sorry, I've interrupted your story.
No.
Another one. One time, I got into an Uber. It was late.
Yeah.
I'd been drinking. I really need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But the Uber was like 1 minute away. And then I can see him. I'm like, oh, I don't have time to go wee somewhere. So I'm like, God, I can do it. It's like a 20-minute trip. I'm like... I can probably hold it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
So I get in and then he starts driving. And after about 10 seconds of driving, he goes, man, I'm so sorry. I just really need to go to the bathroom. Can I go and take a piss? And I'm like, mate, me too. And then we both go out and then piss like next to each other. And I'm going like, yes.
Was he loving it?
He was loving it. It's like, oh my, I was like, man, I really needed to go. I told him, I'm like, I almost canceled. Like, I really need to go. And he's like, oh, thank God. Yes, let's do it.
Wow.
How good is this? Yes.
Did that energy continue for the rest of the car ride? Or did you get in and just go back to silence?
No, we were chatting after that.
Yeah. So I'm in this Uber.
Yes.
The driver goes, do you mind? We've just got to pull into the servo coming up here.
Yes.
You know, I was actually in a hurry, but I was like,
yeah.
If there's no fuel in the car.
If there's no fuel, there's no fuel.
I looked at the little, I was in the back.
No.
I looked through to the thing. Yeah. It wasn't on empty. But it was like pretty low.
Mm.
So I was like, I guess he's got somewhere planned. He's got a, you know, whatever. There was a service station just there. So I was like,
yeah,
this does check out.
There's often a service station just there.
True. But like I could see the service station. So I was like, I guess this is probably convenient.
Yep.
And then I was like quite happy with I was like, you're doing a good, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
because
I could have been like, no, man, I got to get to this place.
Yes.
And then he's got to, but I was like, I'll do the right thing.
Yes.
So I'm kind, you know, I was channeling that kindness.
Yeah.
I was like, pull
over. Your parents must have picked the right one.
Exactly. So he pulls in to the Bowser and then he gets out and he goes, yep, one sec, mate. And I was like, no worries. So I'm just like on my phone. And then I'm like, I kind of looked around and then I was like, I didn't hear him like putting the nozzle in.
No.
And then I look up and he's like in the shop.
Yes.
So my first thought was like, oh, maybe he needs to shit or whatever.
Yeah, totally.
But then I saw him through the window. He just joins the line.
Yeah.
And then he just pays. And then he walks back out with a bottle of Coke.
No.
And then we just start driving again.
No.
He pulled over just to get a bottle of Coke.
Can I say he knows what he's doing here? Because the very sneaky aspect of what it's has just occurred.
It was sneaky. There's no other way to describe it as sneaky.
He did a sneaky thing more than once. First of all, what did he say? Can I pull into the service station?
He said, we need to pull into the service station. He said, we.
Yes.
Which implies that we need fuel. Otherwise, we're not going to get...
100%. So he's deliberately used language in a tricky way here. Didn't say anything about petrol. Obviously, no. That's what he's implying. But in his mind, he's going like, hey, I didn't say that. I just said we need to go to the service station. And I need some Coca-Cola. I have a desperate need for some Coca-Cola.
A 600ml Coca-Cola.
Oh my God. He's lost one buddy in you and he's gained a buddy in the Coke that he's just purchased. But you know the sneakiness is proved by he pulled up at the Bowser.
He pulled up at the Bowser. He didn't go to the extra car.
He did it. Yeah, exactly. That's not for that.
It was outrageous.
If you want a Coke, you park in the parking. Park at the thing.
And then he's
just hoping you're on your phone and not noticing.
Totally. Because, and I don't know if you ever live by this etiquette, but I always, if we're driving, it doesn't matter who it is, if we go to the service station and I go into the shop, I say to the person, do you want anything? Do you need anything?
So you're mad because he didn't get you some
Why didn't he offer me a thing? Offer me a Coke.
I would have had a Kit Kat.
Because at this point, it's like he didn't get water. He got Coke. It's like he's just having a treat at this point. Offer it to me. I'll give you the money.
It is one of the funniest things to just go buy. It's like
to buy one
chocolate
Coke
bar would have been worse.
And then get back into the nightmare traffic of Hoddle Street.
I mean, he probably was lacking energy. Do you think, did you say anything to him before? Had there been conversation before this point?
No. Or like, how's your day? Pretty good. And then I was on my phone basically straight away for the next 10 minutes.
Not to introduce.
Do not for a second put this on me. Outrageous to try to say that my behavior somehow responsible.
In previous episodes, we've talked about people walking all over you. And do you think it's possible that you gave him the impression that you were the perfect passenger to do this for?
I had headphones in.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a bit checked out.
And maybe he resented
that. Have you been kind
of
kind?
I've been so kind.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Maybe you seem like the kind of guy who would be okay with it. You need to be a bit more rude in your tone so people don't.
But what do you say when he comes back with a Coke?
What would I say?
I would have been like, you were supposed to.
How much of a rush were you in? Were you on the right here? No,
I was on the way. I was going from my house to work.
And how necessary was it that you were on time? And how
I did have a meeting that I was 5 minutes late for.
Really?
But I was like, it's also, I just texted and said, we're running. Let's start the meeting 5 minutes late. Yes. It wasn't like a crazy serious.
Yeah,
one.
Totally.
But I was like,
and then you've got a good story when you get there.
Oh, open the meeting with the story.
Of course.
Absolutely opened with it. But which in matter, like it made the day better.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
The first 10 minutes of the meeting is red hot with people being like, come on, he bought a Coke.
Was it a full strength Coke or Coke Zero?
No, it was full strength.
Full strength. That is a treat. What? That is a treat.
He wanted the sugar.
That's a treat.
No, but full strength, you could argue he needed it more. Maybe he was about to nod off.
No.
That is the only argument he has here.
Yeah,
that he's been on a 15-hour shift. It's at 11 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is
But should
argument.
He have offered me the car? That's kind of where I'm getting to.
I think you should have been honest. So my guy who needed to shit, he was honest. Well, he wasn't. He didn't tell me what he was doing, actually.
He said, we've got to stop.
Yeah. But
which is kind of honest.
He communicated with his tone that this was serious, and then it was serious. This guy lied about what was actually going on. And that's wrong. He needs to be honest up front.
Yeah.
And then whether he gets you a treat or not, I think this is a bit of a a red herring.
Well, you used to get a bottle of water in the Uber. You used to get like a Mentos.
Now they're getting Cokes.
Now they're getting a bottle of Coke. On my dollar. He either needed to shit or put fuel in the car. It's unacceptable.
Oh, there was one other thing I wanted to... What did we talk about?
Lump.
Your lump.
Went to the doctor.
Yes.
I know we're going to wrap up in a second. Went to the doctor.
Okay, we're going to wrap it up in a second, but we've got two updates. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Lump update. You went
lump
to a doctor.
Update. Well, I saw your sister.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And your sister weirdly felt my neck up. In a pub, people were coming over to be like, what's she doing?
That's
she
not weird. Said, that's appropriate.
She said, no lump.
Normal.
No lump. Then I went to the doctor as well on Tuesday.
Mm.
No lump.
No lump.
Doctor said, why were you here? And I did tell him. I said, I did the whole thing. I said, I work on a TV show. He was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, I know that show. And then I said, a woman texted him and said, there's a lump. And then he felt my neck and he goes, no lump.
Did he agree with me that it was a veiny, fit guy situation?
No, we didn't get into that. I said, could you see how there could be a lump? I said, do you think the lighting in the studio?
Oh, for God's sake.
And he said, that could be one explanation.
Yeah, that's a no.
Yeah. So that's the end. So I'm lump free.
Okay, that's fantastic news.
That's a quick, that's wrapping something up.
That's wrapping something up. Yeah. And that's great news. Okay, second update. I have a message from a barber. So 2 weeks ago, I said that I got a haircut.
Yeah.
And it was a bad haircut. They took too much off and he spun me. Do you remember this?
He spun
without consent. He spins me around and then I'm facing the waiting room and then he spins me around again and I'm facing the guy next to me. And I also expressed doubt about the two-finger method.
Yep.
Where they...
You're saying, how can it accurately...
Yeah, they take a clump within two fingers and then they cut some off and then they keep doing that. But it's like, surely some of the same hair is getting
caught
in these little attempts. Someone got in touch saying, I'm a barber. Firstly, may I say, on behalf of the barbering community, how deeply sorry I am that you had to put up with this chair spinning bullshit.
Yeah, great. I love to hear that because the spin is unacceptable.
The spin is crazy. The only possible case would be that he's only got good light on one side, so he's just spinning you to put that bit of your head in the light.
See, lighting is so important, especially on a face or neck.
Like, oh, for God's sake. Barbers are now being used as part of your lighting defense for the lump. That being said, then you apologize and say, hey, man, sorry, this is real, this is lame, but I need to spin you because I can't see the other side of your head very well. That's his approach, he reckons. But it was pretty bright barbershop. I don't think this is... But, you know, I'm not an expert on haircut lighting.
Mm.
But yeah, basically, this barber agrees that he should have told me about the spin before the spin. Secondly, the thing about when they're cutting with scissors and the first bit of your hair gets cut twice, it doesn't get cut twice. The first bit is called the guide. Oh. And then you use that to measure each subsequent cut. So it's all the same length.
Oh.
Didn't really address the thing here. No. I replied to him saying thank you and I'll take that on board with basically trusting barbers a bit more not to cut the same hair twice. But he didn't really say anything about how you know the guide.
How does that still prove that you haven't cut the other hair?
It doesn't. I suppose what I'm learning from that is this barber is comfortable that he's not cutting the same hair twice.
Yeah.
It's a bit how of a they vibe. Know that is...
Dude, it is a bit of a vibe profession.
Yes, I guess. But I guess you could know kind of where it stopped and like to see the shorter bits.
To me, the guide that he's describing is just so you can pull the hair out to make an easier cut. Like,
yes.
To me, it just feels like you're organizing the hair to make it easier to cut through as opposed to just randomly.
Yeah.
I feel like you still can't accurately guarantee.
You can't guarantee, but you could see if you cut like 1 centimeter off some and then you did a second, like you could see
the difference there.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. So basically, I've got to give the barbers a bit more. They know what they're doing. But then to be spun is to be disrespected.
Well, it's good to know that the spin was disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you don't have cancer or some sort of lymph node inflammation.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have been spun.
You shouldn't have been
spun. There's a lot of vindication happening this week.
And that's important for us.
Thank you for listening.